Yeah, do you want to give Faith half of those ones? So Faith, every time I say a certain word, I want you to run and give someone a sweet, and then back to your seat. Every time I say a certain word, I'm going to get you to run, each of you, and give someone a sweetie. But you're not allowed to give the same person a sweet twice.
Twice.
Just once.
Just over
here. Right. That's okay, so meditation. Why, hot, why, what, and how? Have you seen this? Meditation, because some questions just can't be answered by Google. Yeah. We sometimes turn to Google for answers quicker than we turn to Jesus. Sometimes we turn to each other quicker than we turn to Jesus. You know, we'll run and we'll look for answers from one another when actually each other should just confirm what we've already heard from the Lord. So the word is meditation, or meditate. The Bible says, abomination of everything that God is. It's all that he is, to he is, I am. Way. He's the way to what? He's the way to what? So to truly believe this statement is the foundation of all direction. So if you're looking for direction in your life, you need to actually really believe when Jesus says, I am the way, that that's who he is. If you're looking for direction in your life right now, you need to take time and really contemplate and meditate on the fact that Jesus is the way. Okay? So to truly believe that statement is the foundation of all direction. The opposite of having direction is being lost. So if you don't know where you're going, it means that you're lost, yeah? And we don't want to be lost, we want to know where we're going. So in order to do that, we have to contemplate on the Word of God. We have to contemplate in His presence. To know the Father, we must take time to know Jesus. Because Jesus says that all that I am reveals who the Father is. If you know me, you know the Father. So we need to take time to know who Jesus is. Everything about Him reveals the Father. The Father is only revealed through Christ. He's only revealed through Christ. Okay? So without knowing Jesus, we will never know the Father. It's like, if I didn't get to know Andy, I would never get to know his family. Chances are I might say hi in a coffee shop, but I would never get to know them. It's only through knowing him, he's the gateway to his family. Jesus is the gateway to my family in heaven. Everything that is there is, he's the doorway, he's the gateway. And as we know Jesus, we will in the same measure know the Father. So the more we get to know him, the more we will get to know his Father. Why do we get lost? Distractions. Who gets distracted? Yeah, distractions. They lead us off track. Sometimes it's family. Sometimes it's family issues that we get so burdened down with that life takes its toll. He's smiling around me. It's so distracting. Yes. And it's like sometimes family things. We get overwhelmed. And instead of going to Jesus, who can take us to the Father, who can come and sort these things out, we end up walking in this overwhelmed shadow and finding life really heavy. So family can be a distraction in good ways and bad ways. It can distract us in every way. Friendships. I've had to let go of friendships that were a distraction for me, that were not healthy for me. Do I miss those people? Yeah, I still miss them. But they didn't lead me higher. They led me back. So for me to go forward, I had to change my friendship circle. And I had to kind of clean up house. So I think it's important who you have speaking into your life. It's important who you have that is your circle of intimacy. People that get to know the personal things about you. I don't think the Bible says that we're to be open and transparent. I don't think that means we tell everybody everything. It means that we're open-hearted. I think there are people have to earn the right into that circle of intimacy with you. And they have to be people that encourage you. If you're alongside people that are disempowering you, are not encouraging you, not building you up and edifying you, you need to look at that circle of friends. Yeah. The media. Oh my gosh, TV.
Yeah.
This blessed thing can be a curse or a blessing. It's a blessing for communication. It can be a curse because it steals time. Literally, you get on it and you're like, on it, you're on it. Facebook. Oh, 3 hours have passed. Oh my days. I didn't have time for Jesus today. Why? Hello? Media. TV. If we spent the same time with Jesus as we spend on the TV watching programs, how much of the Father would we know?
That's
mommy. Honestly? Is that mommy? So for me it's always a personal challenge. Media is always a personal challenge for me. You know, I like to know what's going on. I like to know, I think it's the pastoral bit as well. I know what's going on in people's lives. And yeah, media is a big distraction for me. It's something I have to bring, work the fruit of the spirit of self-control into. For me, that's my self-centeredness and non-surrender. Some people are just so taken up in me, and I've got to do this, and I'm the best, and I need to put this forward and that forward, and they're not surrendered to the Lord. You know, they've said yes to Jesus, but they're not surrendered. And I think there's that recall, you know, just like His mercy is new every day, so our surrender needs to be new every day. It's that surrender freshly in the mornings. Yeah, so as we meditate upon Him in the busyness of life, as we meditate upon the Lord. People are getting hungry here, kids. As we meditate upon the Lord, we will find that the busyness of our lives comes into order. As we meditate upon Jesus, you will find that order comes into your chaos. When you spend time with the Lord, it creates a peace and a tranquility and a serenity that you can actually work from. Instead of, if I get up in the morning and I don't have time with Jesus, I'm running after the day, honestly. When I get up earlier and waking up, I don't set my alarm and say, Lord, wake me up at 6 or wake me up at 6:30. And I'm like, boom, I look at my mom. But I know He's woken me up because He wants to talk to me. He so desires your gaze. He so desires your heart. He so desires your worship.
Amen.
So if you say to Him, wake me up at 6, you're waking me up at 6.
Yeah. Or 7.
Or 7. Or 8, whatever time. 2 o'clock. Whatever time. And you create a busy schedule with Jesus so that your schedule doesn't run your life. Yeah? I am the truth. So we've covered I am the way. To truly believe that statement, that I am the truth, is the foundation of all of your identity. To truly believe that statement is the foundation of identity. I am the truth. So everything that Jesus says about you, Jesus is, Holy Spirit is the spirit of truth. The enemy is the father of
lies.
So the Holy Spirit is the king of truth. The enemy is the father of
lies.
So who do we want to follow?
Truth.
So whose company do we need to be in?
Holy
Spirit. So when we aren't in the presence of the Holy Spirit, we're just walking in the ways of the flesh and the world. Yeah? So when we walk in the ways of the flesh and the world, we're subject to the Father of
lies.
He continually tells us things like, you won't make it, you can't do it, you don't have enough time, this can't happen, that person doesn't like you. Oh, what did they say? You're instantly into that nitty-gritty of the Father of lies. When we take time with the Spirit of truth, He speaks His heart over us, His destiny over us, why He created you. Yeah? So He speaks identity over you, that releases power over you, that releases you to be bold, that releases you to have security in your identity and know who you are. The opposite of truth is lies. So some of the truth is, John 14:3, I will go and prepare a place for you. We have an eternal home. We will never, ever, ever be homeless. We are not a homeless people. We are a people that have a glorious inheritance. That is the
truth.
And as we meditate on that, It gives us, oh, no more sweeties. As we meditate on that, it gives us the security in every day of our lives, going from step to step to step, to know that God will not let us down. Yeah? John 14:16, Father will give you another Savior, the Holy Spirit of truth, who will be a friend to you just like me. You're never alone. You're never alone. No matter should everyone else walk away from you, you're never alone. Why? Because you have a friend called Holy. You have a friend called Holy. That's right, darling. It is. It is. John 14:18, I will never leave you helpless or abandon you as orphans. Do you notice he says abandon you as orphans? Sometimes we step out of being children back into the realm of an orphan. Sometimes we step into the belief in the old things of life. And we kind of carry again that orphan spirit. God doesn't love me. He's not going to do that for me. I'm not worthy. I always fail. I never succeed at anything. Things will never change for me. But he says, I will never leave you helpless or abandon you as orphans, no matter where you are, no matter what situation you're in. He's there. He's there with you, looking after you, taking care of you, being beside you. So you have an eternal destiny home. You have a friend that's with you forever. And Jesus himself says he will never leave you. He will always be there for you. John 13, love each other just as much as I have loved you. How much did he love us? This much, wasn't it? On the cross, this much. He loved us unto death. He loved us unto death. Love each other the same way. I think we've got to learn how to do that well. Yeah. John 15:9, I love each of you with the same love that the Father loves me. So just as much as the Father loved Jesus, Jesus returns that love to us. There's such a security in being able to meditate on the truth. Micah, sit next. So there's so much love. When we take time to meditate on these truths, it transforms who we are on the inside. Micah, go down to mommy if you like, darling. John 15:19, I have chosen you. I have chosen you. You're a chosen people. Each one of you has been chosen personally by God. Psalm 23. I am your best, it's amplified version. I am your best friend. I take care of you. You will always have enough. When you rest in me, you rest in my luxurious love. Isn't that gorgeous? My luxurious love. I will restore you. I will open doors for you. When you go through horribly hard times, I am right there. I am a delicious feast for your heart and mind and body. I pour out beautiful perfumed oil on your head as I anoint you. And I pursue you with goodness and love all the days of your life. For you are my beloved. You are my beloved. That's truth. And that's the power of truth. When we believe that we are loved just as much as the Father loves Jesus. Like we can't even really begin to contemplate that or understand that, do we? And as we begin to meditate on it, as we begin to go into that place of stillness, then the Lord begins to reveal to our spirit the truth of those things that empower us. All of what God has spoken, we feast upon. And you know, the enemy watches as you feast. He doesn't want you to take time out. He doesn't want you to feast on the table of the Lord. He doesn't want you to feast on the word or the prophetic words you've been given. He wants you to be busy. He wants you, your media, to be heavy. He wants your friendships to take up your time. He doesn't want you to have time to feast. His truth is revelation, known only to those who take time to seek it out. You can come here and you can get like little snippets on a Sunday. I don't know about you, if I only ate once a week, I wouldn't have had weight problems, that's for sure. You'd eventually die. If all you did was eat once a week, you wouldn't. It's not sustainable. And spiritually, we expect to go out and heal the sick and raise the dead on once a week feasting. You know? We need to feast often. We need our spirit man to be strong. We need our spirit man to know who he is and to know the power, that same resurrection power that rose Jesus from the dead, that lives inside of us. It lives inside of us. Truth releases life and hope. It is the foundation that life is built upon. Where there's no truth, there can be no trust. Who's had friendships that have betrayed trust? Do you really trust that person again? It takes a lot of time, doesn't it? You know? Jesus is truth. He's never, ever lied. He's really the only sure foundation in the whole of our lives. I am the life. If you truly believe that statement, is the foundation of eternal existence. So if we believe that he is life, and that life lives in us, his life is eternal life, and we're promised that eternal life, yeah? So when sickness comes and all those things come against us, where is our trust? Our trust is it in the NHS? Or is our trust in I am the life? I have eternity for you. No matter what happens, you're never going to die. No matter what happens, you're going to live forever. Why? Because I've got a place prepared for you. I'm the way. I'm going to show you where to go and how to go there. I am the truth. I do not lie. Therefore, I am the life. And in me is eternal life. The opposite of life is death. And being outside of Christ is a living death, going nowhere. For me personally, before Christ, I thought I was doing okay, you know? I really did. But when I came to Jesus, I realized how not okay things were. I realized that the friendships that I had were not good. I was very depressed. I walked a lot of depression. I used to lock myself away. Jesus changed all that for me. He's like my best friend. He's my healer. He's my lover. He's the one that everybody else turns away or doesn't understand. He fully understands me. Everything about me. Each one of you and all your complexity, he fully understands everything about you. Everything, every thought, every weird thing that others don't get, he gets. He gets all those little things. Your very core is to live and release life. Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord is upon you. He has anointed you to preach good news. Spirit of God is upon you. You are anointed. You're anointed to open the eyes of the blind, open the ears of the deaf, to release out of prison those that are bound, to release from addiction those that are bound. Prisoners that deserve to be punished, we have the power to release in the name of Jesus. People that have done awful things, Jesus has forgiveness power. Yeah? To rebuild old cities, to raise up oaks of righteousness. That's who you are. You're anointed and appointed for this season. Amen. Life is energy. Energy is power. If you're living and breathing and you have Jesus, you have energy, and that energy is power. And it's power to transform. It's power to change lives. It's power to speak truth into shadows and bring the light of God into them. Signs of life in the natural. You breathe. You have a heartbeat, you want to check it, make sure it's still kind of active. You move, sometimes. You've got feelings, emotions, you hunger and you thirst. If you're not hungry, there's something wrong. If your babies or your children start not wanting to eat food, you begin to get concerned, yeah? Yeah, we talked about this Thursday night, young adults, didn't we? If we're not hungry, there's something wrong. In the natural, if we don't have hunger for food, there's something wrong with us. We're sick. If we don't get thirsty, if we don't drink for a long time, we're sick. There's something wrong. And it's exactly the same spiritually. If we don't hunger for God, we will get sick. If we don't thirst for his presence, we will get sick. We will get sick. Signs of spiritual life, a spiritual heartbeat, a desire for love, a desire for Jesus, a hunger, like we've just said about a hunger for the word, a hunger to hear his voice. There's sometimes we can read the word and we just need to keep reading until he speaks, you know? Sometimes we read and read and it's just like reading, and that's good because it's going into your spirit, but we need to read until he speaks, until something that God brings out by his Holy Spirit from that word that will be yours to feast on that day. It may be one word, it may be a verse, it may be a sentence, it may be a passage. But you need to read until he speaks. And when he speaks, then you can meditate and concentrate on what he's saying so that it becomes a feast for your soul. So that you grow. So that you have something to take with you in the day. So that no matter what, because I really believe that what you get in the morning with the Lord is your sustaining strength for that day. I believe that whatever you face that day, whatever he has spoken to you in the morning, will give you the answers for that day. We have movement. Mark 16, 15 to 18. Can somebody read that for me? Mark 16, 15 to 18.
He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover."
So, there's meant to be movement as a sign of spiritual life. And what was that movement to do? Number one, it was to go and what?
Preach the word.
Preach the word. Release the good news of Jesus. Next one. What are we to do?
Raise the dead.
Raise the dead.
Heal the sick.
Heal the sick. Make disciples. See people saved. Lead people to Jesus. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. It's not just to heal the sick and raise the dead. We're called to bring people into the kingdom, to baptize them, to see them established so that they then become people that breathe and move and have a spiritual heartbeat. How do we do this? Meditation. The time you enjoy wasting is not wasted time. I know he's sitting like a bit of yogi, but it doesn't really matter. The time you enjoy wasting is not wasted time. Some people think, "I don't have time." But the Lord says, this is the most precious time that you can have, is your time with me. There's a few things on meditation from the Word. Psalm 119, "I will meditate deeply on the splendor and your wonders." These are different things you can meditate on, the splendor and your wonders. "Blessed is the one who delights in the law of the Lord and who meditates on it day and night." Meditating on the Word, on the laws of God. Psalm 48, "We meditate on your unfailing love." So we've got the splendor and the wonders of God to meditate on. His law, his unfailing love. Psalm 119, "Your laws and your ways." Psalm 119 again, "Your promises." There are 7,700 promises of God in Scripture. If we took one a day, that would take us through probably, you know, into the next age. Meditating promises. "I will meditate on your works," the things that he has done. What has he done in your life that you need to remember? What are the good things, the works of God in your life, or the works that have been spoken of in the Word? "And while I meditated," this is what happened, "the fire burned, and then I spoke with my tongue." While I meditated, the fire burned, and then I spoke with my tongue. So there's a connection between contemplating and meditating on the splendor, the wonders, his law, his unfailing love, his ways, his promises, his works, that causes a fire to burn within you so that you have something to give. So as we meditate, we feast upon, we receive something that we can give away. If we don't meditate and take in the Word and feast on the Word, we have nothing to give. But as we meditate on these things, on his goodness, on his love, on his ways, number one, we get to know the Father. And number two, we have something to give to other people. Yeah? This feels great. I love meditation. I love taking time to meditate on the Word. I meant to bring my journal today. I wrote my first psalm this week. I said to the Lord, "Oh, this is really awesome." He says, "Write it down." He says, "Write a psalm for me." David wrote it down in Psalms. I'm like, "Oh, okay, I don't know what it's going to look like." And as I started, it just wrote. just wrote. It was like his spirit was like working through my hand. It was amazing. So I'll bring it and I'll read it sometime. So things to meditate. Meditate on the power of God, the things that he's done in your life, the power of God, things that he's done in the Word that demonstrate his character to you and reveal the Father to you. Meditate on his power. Meditate on his goodness. His goodness. His goodness follows you. What has he brought into your life that's full of goodness? Meditate on his love. If you want to meditate on love, go visit 1 Corinthians 13, it's like the classic. Meditate on that passage for a couple of months. You should sit in meditation for 20 minutes a day. Unless you're too busy, then you should sit for an hour. Yeah? So meditate for 20 minutes, or unless you're too busy, then you need to meditate for longer until your busyness comes into order. And Jesus said, unless you become like a child, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Kids take everything in that their parents give to them until they start arguing in their teens. But children drink in truth from those around them. They drink in truth. It establishes who we are. What we put in, we become. My sheep hear my voice. Who believes that God speaks to them today? That the Holy Spirit speaks to them today? What about you girls? Believe the Holy Spirit speaks to you? Okay. Does Jesus speak to you? He does. Anybody not know that Jesus speaks to them today? Good. Because we're going to do a little activation for 5-10 minutes. So girls, would you give... Micah, do you want to come give some of these out for me? Yes. You give some out. So this is a little sheet with three questions. I want you to take time. If you want to move your chair and go to a quiet spot, you can do that. And it's, hey Holy Spirit, what do you want to say to me today or show me today? I want you to take time and ask him what he wants to show you, what he wants to say. It could be just a picture. It could be a word. It could be an essay. It can be little, it can be lots. Number two, what are you saying about me? So Spirit of God, what can you say about me today? What do you say about me personally? And number three, tell me what you're thinking about someone else in church today so I can share with them some good news. So I can share with them some good news. Okay, we're going to take 10 minutes. So Father, we just ask you to come. Holy Spirit, come. I just declare over you, your ears to be open. Your spiritual eyes, your spiritual ears to be open to his voice. That you'll hear clearly, see clearly what the Spirit of God is teaching you and speaking to you right now about others and about you. In Jesus' name, amen. Remember, you've got goodness, his ways, his splendor, his glory, his love, all those different things you can meditate. So I want you to take the next 2-3 minutes and ask God to share with you something to share with someone else in church today. So who do you want me to speak to? Who do you want to speak to and what do you want to say, Lord? And again, maybe one word, maybe a picture. Okay, we're just going to bring our time to a close. Okay, so who's got something written down on their page? Imagination. Your imagination is sanctified by the Lord when you're in His presence. So you can trust what you receive. So I asked you to, who got a word for someone else? Put your hand up. So would you like to go and just share that word with that other person now? Just go and bless them with the word.